Thank you, Ian, for praying for me via pastor. That was really interesting. I must have been the only one in the room that knew. But anyway, that's all right. We're here. What a blessed thing it is to be able to come to church and to have the music. You know, I don't know whether you watched any of the New Year's Eve celebrations. I personally didn't because I just didn't need another rock show. But just to listen this morning, it just does wonders to your heart and settles your soul. So music can be a very important part, but I'm not talking about music this morning, so please, that's just a sidetrack. Okay, well, thank you for attending this morning, and for those watching online, I trust that you're able to hear and that there'll be a blessing. Let's just commit the service to the Lord. Gracious Father, we are so thankful that we're able to have a service. We're able to come together. We're able to let the Spirit of God minister through the Word of God. We're able to bring prayers and supplications into your name. And so we just commit this morning's service. Pray that you would just make those things that are right, right. And those things that are wrong, if there's any, that people would just overlook them. So we commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, today, as Pastor said, is the first Sunday of the new year 2022. Now, if you're like me, I can remember 2021 was going to be the great year. COVID was gone. And we were going to enter into a new era. Well, that didn't happen, did it? But anyway, God is in control. He knows what he's doing. And if you don't believe me, just check out his word. And that will obviously be the case. So this morning, I wanted to talk to you on getting a grip. That was a mistake. Okay. All right, getting a grip on God's word. How can I get a grip on this book? How can I do things in 2022 that will help me to, I'm going to say master the scriptures, but that's a very big thing, isn't it, to say I've mastered the scriptures. But to get a grip on it, I don't think I fully appreciate the influence the Bible has had on my life. But its influence is there daily. It gives daily guidance. Many years ago, I went to a work colleague's mother's funeral at a Catholic church. I went out of respect for my work colleague, but took the opportunity to listen and to watch all that went on. I tried not to be negative at the tradition and ritual, but found several things that were not just right, according to my knowledge of the scriptures. They had in the church several statues, one on the left of me, of Mary, and one on the right was of Jesus, and in the centre at the back they had Jesus hanging on the cross. The Bible clearly says, make no graven images. So here was a church with three graven images. Now, the statue of Mary was the same size as that of Jesus, making them at least in appearance of equal status. When you look the other way, in other words, you stand where the priest stood, Mary was on the right and Jesus on the left. If you know anything about your scriptures, you'll know that the biblical position is Jesus is on the right hand of God the Father. Again, not quite right. The service proceeded. It was a nice service and the people were there to support the family, which they did well. They did the usual prayers and readings. the priest was very confident that the deceased lady would be with Jesus in heaven because she trusted in God. He never said the church, which I suppose that he would, but he said she trusted in God. But he did say that the deceased lady would now be able to intercede for others. Again, not quite right. There was also a mention of prayers for the dead. This is also not scriptural. There was a mass, and the priest did say that the body of Christ, that this was the body of Christ, which again is not scriptural. The question you might ask is, how did I know to discern these errors in biblical truth? How did I know about the statues? How did I know about the right and the left? Well, I knew because of my knowledge of the scriptures. The enemy of souls wants us to be ignorant of what the Bible actually says. I'm going to repeat that. The enemy of souls wants us to be ignorant of what the Bible actually says. Then how do I get a grip, or a better grip, on God's word in 2022? Well, I'm going to share with you now how I got a grip on the scriptures. So I'm sharing history. I'm sharing my personal history. I'm now 74 years of age. I was saved, that is, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ only for my salvation when I was 20. That's 54 years of Christian life. The first way that I found to get a good grip on the scriptures was to listen to good Bible-based preaching. Let me first say that here at Golden City Baptist Church, we have every week, every service, very good Bible teaching. That's one of the reasons I'm here. It's one of the reasons my family's here, because there's good, sound, Bible-based teaching. Well, I did a calculation. Now, if you've got your calculators here, you can check my mathematics. I attended two services most Sundays since I was saved. So if there's 48 weeks times two services per week, 54 years, that's 5,184 services. That's a lot of services. That's a lot of preaching. Now, if you add prayer meetings and conferences and tape messages, let's say 5,500 messages. That's a lot of preaching, isn't it? And if you're 10 or 12 or younger or 30 or 40, another 30 or 40 years, you could reach those kind of numbers or services if you haven't already reached them. Well, who have I heard preach? For pastors or Bible preaching pastors, I've heard Ray Ewers, Brian Wenham, Lindsay Balgowan, Michael Kennedy, Ryan Conlon, Richard Hester, Glenn Matthews, Les Searle, David Mitchell, and Alan Mitchell. They're the ones that I can remember at the moment. What other good teachers and preachers have I heard? Well, I've heard Ralph Matthews, George Jeffress, Paul Hall, Nathan and Jeremy Searle, Andrew Roberts, Robert James, Philip Brown, Lynn Phillips, Darren Finn. The list goes on and on and on. I've also been to several conferences, heard Dr. Singleton, if you know him, Dr. Ian Paisley as well. He's a former member of the British Parliament. For many people, hearing God's word is the only way they will ever or can ever hear what God is saying. So today there are still millions who only get to hear God's word, perhaps online, perhaps in a service, perhaps listening to a recording. So I want to look up some verses just to encourage us to hear God's word. Now, you can look them up if you like, or you can hang on. If you want to look up Nehemiah 13, 1 to 3, that's my fourth passage, but at least you'll have a head start. Revelation 1, 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Blessed is he that readeth, and those that hear and keep. Three key words there. Luke 11:28 says, "But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And Romans 10:17, which I'm sure you all know, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Then Nehemiah 13:1-3 says, "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people," so they could hear, "and therein was found written that the Amorite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." So they heard God's word, and they acted on it. When people of God hear from the book, it drives them to action. And I trust that's your application. When you sit at home and hear a service, or you come here, you think, what does God want me to apply from what I've heard this morning? Well, a second way that I found to get a good grip on the scriptures was to read the Bible. I must state that I'm not a good reader, and if you've heard me read, you know that already. I can, however, read well enough to slowly read and understand the scriptures. I remember when I was in Sunday school and we would read around the group, I would sit there and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm going to have to read that verse. What's that verse say? And then I'd look at it, and then when it came to my turn, I could read it. But when I was saved, of course, my reading improved considerably. But I still struggle. When I was saved, I was encouraged to read God's word every day in the King James Bible, which is a blessing because I'm still reading in the King James Bible. And I'll come to that in a minute. But this wasn't the first time that I'd attempted to read the Bible. I can remember, or just remember, when I was 10 or 12, I started to read. I had this idea that I wanted to read the Bible. So I got my Bible out, and I started in Genesis, and I probably got to Leviticus or Deuteronomy. Then I stopped. If you've ever done that, you'll know what I mean. When I was going to work as an apprentice, I would also read my Bible on the train. That was before I was saved. I was a church attendee, but I wasn't saved. I also read through J.B. Phillips' New Testament several or many times. I don't necessarily encourage you to do that, but this is my history. So in my 54 years after salvation, I must have read the New Testament at least once every year. That's 54 times. That's an incredible number, isn't it? 54 times. And the Old Testament, let's say 40 plus times. I had made a previous decision when I was saved that I would read the Bible. Sorry, not when I was saved, a few years after that, that I would read my Bible every year that I was saved. Does anyone have some water? I'm getting very dry. Please. Just give me a second. Thank you. This looks good. Drinking water on the screen. Thank you. The thing about reading for yourself, reading the entire New Testament or Old Testament, is that you get to put into context the pictures and the events in the correct place. If you're hearing God's word, and I've heard 5,500 messages, it's a good introduction into events or into doctrines or topics, but you don't get the overall context until you read the Bible through. So just to repeat, I'm a poor reader, find it difficult to read some books, but I find I can read the scriptures, that is the words, and put them into place, but I've got to do it slowly. So what does God's word say about reading the Bible? Now, we have to remember something here. Back in the Bible times, You didn't have a Bible. You didn't have a scroll. You didn't even have a piece of paper with God's word written on it. If you wanted to read God's word, you had to go down to the tabernacle or to the temple or to the synagogue and get a scroll out and read it. And I'm sure that they were very delicate things. In the New Testament churches, they would have had copies of some books or original scrolls or letters or copies of those New Testament writers. But nobody would have had the whole Bible in one place at one time. So you couldn't read at home. Okay, now, it seems only in recent times, since the printing press, that it's been possible to have all the scriptures in one place at one time. And we have it here. It's in here. All of it. We're probably the most privileged generation that has ever lived to have it all in one place. So you won't find references in the Bible to people reading at home. That's where I'm sort of going to with that one. I'd like to read to you Hebrews 8, 1 to 8 and 9, 3, if you want to look it up. Nehemiah 8, 1 to 8 and 9, 3. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Notice how accurate this is. And they spoke unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which of course was in the temple, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women. Notice it's men and women. And those that could understand in the ears of all the people that were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood, and I am not going to attempt to read those names. But some were on his right hand and some were on his left hand. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people when he opened it. And all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then there's those people again. And I'm halfway through the verse. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And so Ezra was reading, but the other people were obviously going around the group. Yeah, do you understand? Does that make sense? Can I help you with that? And so this group of people helped them to understand the reading. Who helps us today to understand the reading? Who is it that, you don't have to answer this, I'll answer it. Who is it that gives us the understanding of the reading? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, which dwells in our hearts by faith. And then the verse 3 of the next chapter says, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law, and the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part of, they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. So they were really moved. They probably hadn't heard the word of God for years. And Ezra took it out. They built him a little pulpit. He stood up and read it. And they understood what he said. If you'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles 34, 29 to 33. Which says, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, and to perform the words of the covenant which were written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah, who was the king, took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. In all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. What an amazing passage. The king. Can you imagine Queen Elizabeth or Prince Philip just grabbing a Bible and walking out onto the stand and say, listen, this is God's word. I'm going to read it to you. Well, that's what King Josiah did. And he read it distinctly and loudly. Changes to lives happen when people consistently read God's word. Well, the third way that I found to increase my grip on the word of God was to formally study the scriptures. Study's difficult for me compared with hearing and reading, because it takes longer to read and understand notes or other people's sermons and books. And I've appreciated Wednesday night prayer meeting here for the last 6 years. In spite of my limitations, I have over my 54 years completed many study book programs. I've attended Bible school lectures and passed tests. I'm a trained ACE monitor, if you know what that means. But for me, personal study is difficulty. Hearing is getting information in the ear. Reading is seeing the words in the context of the overall picture. Studying the scriptures is getting the information, making sure of the context, the historical meaning, then putting it together to have it make sense. We all need to put an effort into studying God's word, and I certainly recommend the Wednesday night prayer meeting study. So the fourth and final way, although this is not the final point, on to getting a grip on God's word is to memorise verses of scripture. I was introduced to a scripture memory system as a young Christian, and I'm absolutely thrilled and glad that I was way back then. When I became a Christian, I was encouraged by a fellow believer to memorise 108 verses of scripture. Now that was known as the topical memory system. You had to say them week by week and then recite all 108 verses, verse, topic and reference, word perfect, in one sitting without help. They could say no, but then you had to find the correct words. Then they upgraded the system and I had to relearn 72 verses, topic, reference and verse. However, most of the verses in the 72 were part of the 108. I guess I learnt several hundred Bible verses word perfect with a topic and a reference over a period of time. Today I think I could probably get 100 of them word perfect and some others with a little help. But you know, if you're sharing the gospel, or you're sharing with someone in a park, or you're sharing with someone in a car and you haven't got your Bible with you, it's really great to know by heart. Now, it's going to give you a whole list of verses. Romans 1:16, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10, 9 and 10, 17, 12, 1 and 2. Or John 1:1, 3:16, 10, 28, 29, 15, 5 and 7. 1 John 1:9, Revelation 3:20, Isaiah 53:6. If you know those verses word perfect, then you can share the gospel with anybody without having a Bible. If you don't know them, well then it's a little bit harder for you to share, but the Spirit of God can still use you in a very real way. Are there any verses of Scripture that encourage memorising God's word? Well, Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9 does. And I'll read through those 9 verses. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and serve to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And verse 9 says, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. They probably didn't have pieces of card that you could write the verses on, put them in your pocket and carry with you. So that was a way of mastering, memorizing the scriptures. Proverbs 6:20-22 says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And then the last one of these, Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So memorizing verses of scripture will give you and the Holy Spirit a key. And if you know them word perfect, you know their reference, then you're able to find them and show them. So the last point that I want to bring to you this morning is meditation. Meditation comes next. I'll read Joshua 1:8 first. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's one of the first verses that I memorized, and what a blessing that has been to me. We read Deuteronomy 6 earlier. Meditation might be thinking with a view to application. Chewing over a passage or a message, seeking the writer's meaning. In Nehemiah and the account of Josiah, action followed the public reading of the scriptures. In both these cases, it was the book of the law. If I hear, read, study, and memorize God's word, the Holy Spirit will have a tool, his own word, to use in my life. I remember I worked for 2 years in Sydney with a Mormon bishop, and that was an experience, I can tell you that. And one day he said that he was giving a talk that night on salvation by works. Immediately, Ephesians 2:8-9 came to mind. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I didn't need to consider that statement any further. He was wrong in teaching salvation by works. Well, salvation based solely on works, that also was unscriptural. So what's the challenge then for today, the first Sunday in January 2022? Do you believe that God wants you to have a good grip on your Bible? Do you have a plan to get a grip on the Bible? Does your current plan need some reviewing? Now, here's a reasonable challenge for the next 12 months. To hear God's word. Commit yourself to hearing 100 messages, 50 Sundays times 2 in 2022. And you've already got one up. Read the entire Bible, or at least the entire New Testament, this 12 months. Now, I do not encourage you to to start in Genesis and go to Exodus and Leviticus and end up at Revelation. That might be just a bit much. But there are other ways of sorting through the Bible so that you can read it in 1 year by breaking up different sections. Study. Do some Bible study. Commit to come on Wednesday nights. There's plenty of spare seats on a Wednesday night. Memorise. Look for some key, often used verses and commit them to memory and review them. Meditate. Let the Spirit of God take the Word of God that you're here, that you're learning, and make you into a man, make you into the man and woman of God that He wants you to be. So what do we need to do? We need to just start it. And what a good time to start. 2 days into a new year. Now, if you've started and failed, start again. If you've started and failed and started and failed, start again. The only real failure in the Christian life is failing to start again. So today, the 2nd of January, if you commit to start today, by the 2nd of January 2023, you'll have a better grip on the Scriptures than you have now. Thank you for listening. We'll just finish up with a hymn and then I'll pray.